Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into the heart of Mount Kailash. It's often called the world's most enigmatic mountain.
That's right.
A place where, well, sources claim time seems to bend, maybe dimensions converge, and ancient secrets might just lie hidden. So our mission really in this deep dive is to unpack the fascinating sources you've brought to us. We want to explore the truly bizarre and inexplicable phenomena reported around the sacred peak.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack.
We're focusing on this majestic landmark, tucked away high in the remote Ngari prefecture of the Tibetan Autonomous Region. It rises impressively to 6,638 meters. That's what, about 21,778 feet?
Yeah, roughly. And remarkably, it's also the source of four of Asia's great rivers. You've got the Indus, the Sutlej, the Brahmaputra, and the Karnali, all starting right there.
Wow. Just incredible.
It really is. And, you know, it's quite remarkable how Kailash holds his unparalleled reverence across four major ancient religions. This deep spiritual connection, it really shaped how any unusual things happening around it are seen. For billions of Hindus, for instance, it's like the mythical home of Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati. They see it as the spiritual center of the earth, maybe a gateway to salvation, moksha, sometimes called the crown chakra of the earth.
The crown chakra.
Yeah. And then Buddhists, they identify it as the cosmic axis, you know, Mount Meru, the navel of the universe. It's linked with deities like Demchak or Chakrasamvara, and that sacred mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum.
Right.
In Jainism, it's Ashtapada. That's where their first Tirthankara, Rishabhanatha, is said to have attained liberation.
Okay, so another major faith connection.
Absolutely. And then there's the ancient Bon religion, which is native to Tibet. For them, it's Bunri, the nine-story swastika mountain, the spiritual heart of the old Zhangzheng Empire, home to like 360 gods.
360, wow.
Yeah. And interestingly, Bon followers walk around it counterclockwise, which is the opposite of the others.
So it's clear then this deep spiritual connection isn't just like background noise, it's the lens, isn't it?
Exactly. It's the crucial lens through which everything else is viewed.
When a place is so deeply seen as the abode of gods or a gateway to heaven, any strange thing, you know, rapid aging, compasses going crazy, weird lights, it gets instantly woven into that divine story.
Right, it fits the narrative.
Yeah, and this existing sacredness, it just amplifies the perception of anything unexplained. It creates this fertile ground for curiosity, drawing people from all over.
Definitely.
Okay, let's start with maybe the most striking mystery, the fact that Mount Kailash is unclimbed.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I mean, it stands at 6,638 meters. That's considerably lower than, say, Everest or K2 peaks that have been summited many times. But Kailash, nope, inviolate.
That's right. No one has verifiably reached the summit. Over the decades, there were several expeditions planned or attempted. You had the British in 1926, Hugh Rutledge.
Okay.
The Japanese considered it in 2001. Even Herbert Tichy back in 1936. But they were all forced back. Severe illness, extreme weather, just inexplicable setbacks.
So beyond just, you know, it being a tough mountain, what are the main reasons given for why it's still untouched?
Well, the most widely cited reasons are really twofold. Deep religious taboos, and then later, official government bans. Across Hinduism, Buddhism, and Bon, climbing Kailash is just seen as a profound act of disrespect. Like trespassing on holy ground.
So fundamentally offensive to the faiths.
Exactly. Tibetan Buddhist traditions, specifically, they view trying to climb it as spiritually arrogant. And local legends, they reinforce this with these dire warning stories of climbers aging super rapidly or just vanishing if they dared to try.
Vanishing.
Yeah. And then in 2001, the Chinese government officially banned mountaineering on Kailash. This was largely influenced by significant protests from religious groups. So that kind of solidified its unclimbed status out of respect, both cultural and religious.
That makes sense on one level, but then you get the anecdotal accounts, the stories from people who've been near it.
Right, the personal experiences.
Mountaineers reporting sudden, severe headaches, muscle cramps, breathing problems that just force them back. Trekkers talking about getting completely lost inexplicably or facing these abrupt, violent weather changes. And disturbingly, there are whispers, claims that some who tried the climb just never came back. There's one account from an explorer named Sergei who described this overwhelming feeling like, this mountain is not accepting me. What do we make of those?
Well, that connects directly to the legend of Milarepa, the 11th century Buddhist yogi.
Okay.
He's believed to have reached the summit, but not physically, spiritually. ascending on sunbeams, the story goes.
On sunbeams.
Yeah, so that legend just reinforces the taboo, right? It implies a kind of divine keep-out sign for mortals. The key takeaway here, I think, is that Kailash being unclined isn't just about religion or government rules.
It's more complex.
It's this interplay. The religious taboo gives the cultural reason for the government ban, which then legally enforces it. But at the same time, all these consistent anecdotal reports, pilgrims and locals see them as clear proof of, well, supernatural protection.
So it becomes like a living entity.
Exactly. Yeah. Many sources describe it that way. A living entity that seems to actively push back against human intrusion.
Yeah.
It kind of suggests there are limits, you know? Limits to human ambition when faced with something truly sacred.
So for you listening, this means these constant reports, disorientation, physical distress, even when there might be scientific explanations like altitude sickness, they consistently lead people to wonder about something deeper.
A mysterious agency, maybe.
Yeah. Whether it's natural forces we don't understand, some unknown intelligence, or even, you know, hidden technology, Kailash seems protected, actively repelling conquest. Okay, now let's shift gears. Imagine this. You spend what feels like maybe 12 hours near Kailash, and when you leave, your hair and nails have grown as if weeks have passed.
Yeah, it's one of the most baffling reports.
It's not just a weird story. It's one of the most persistent phenomena people talk about, this apparent distortion of time itself.
And there are explorer accounts that seem to back this up. Dr. Ernst Moldyshev, a Russian ophthalmologist, led an expedition near Kailash in 1999.
Okay.
He reportedly documented his team members experiencing this kind of rapid aging. His group also mentioned these chilling stories they heard about Siberian climbers who supposedly aged dramatically, like decades in hours, after spending too much time near the mountain.
Decades in hours. That's extreme.
It is. And legends persist about climbers vanishing or aging incredibly fast near the summit.
So are there any scientific theories trying to, you know, explain this? How could time seemingly speed up for biology?
Well, some scientists propose psychological explanations. The extreme altitude, the thin air, combined with the intense spiritual or emotional experiences pilgrims have there, maybe that alters your subjective perception of time.
Like time feels different because you're under stress or in an altered state.
Kind of, yeah. Another theory points to a strong magnetic field that's believed to surround Kailash. The idea is that maybe these powerful magnetic forces could influence biological processes.
Right.
At a cellular level.
Affecting cell growth.
Potentially speeding it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Which could, in theory, explain faster hair and nail growth. But it's really important to say there's no mainstream scientific consensus on this. No big studies confirming this specific effect on humans around Kailash.
Right. It's speculative.
Highly speculative.
Yeah.
But the intriguing thing is the consistency of the anecdotes. Reports of rapid aging, the hair and nails. For many researchers, this suggests something maybe beyond just psychology. And that's what fuels this powerful idea you find in lots of sources, that Kailash might be a genuine gateway, a place where the usual rules, the physical laws we know, become permeable somehow.
Opening up questions about time itself.
Exactly. Big questions about our understanding of time, reality, maybe even other dimensions.
Okay, let's pivot then. Let's talk about the mountain's shape, its geometry.
Ah, yes, the visual aspect.
Yeah. It's described as this near-perfect pyramid shape, four distinct faces, and they're aligned almost precisely with the cardinal directions, north, south, east, west.
Which is highly unusual for a natural mountain.
Right. That geometric precision, it doesn't usually happen like that through erosion.
No. And that symmetry has definitely fueled the, let's say, provocative man-made pyramid theory.
Man-made? You mean someone built it?
That's the hypothesis put forward by some researchers, notably some Russian geologists. They argue Kailash isn't natural at all. It's a colossal ancient structure.
Because it looks too perfect.
Exactly. Too perfect and symmetrical, they say. Some even compare it to a cathedral, noting its extremely perpendicular sides. The suggestion is it's just too regular to be natural erosion.
Implying an advanced civilization? Maybe even.
Potentially even extraterrestrial. That's where the theory often leads, that it was constructed by someone or something with incredible technology.
It's hard to ignore that alignment, that shape. And some sources take it even further, don't they? This idea of inner pyramids.
Oh, yeah, that's even more radical speculation. The notion that Kailash isn't just one giant pyramid, but maybe a huge structure containing, like, over 100 other pyramids inside.
100 pyramids inside. I mean, the engineering for that.
It would be far beyond anything we know from ancient human history. A truly staggering feat, if true.
So what's the conventional explanation?
Conventional science, geology, points to millions of years of natural erosion, wind, ice, water acting on the sedimentary rock layers, plus geological uplift creating the initial mass.
Okay.
But that sheer perfection of the symmetry, especially the cardinal alignment, it just keeps fueling the debate. That too perfect quality is the main hook for the man-made theory. It keeps suggesting intelligent design.
Whether ancient humans we don't know about or.
Or something else entirely, yeah. It directly connects the mountain to these themes you find in science fiction ancient astronaut theories.
Right. Okay. Moving from the physical shape to its energetic presence, Kailash is revered as the Axis Mundi.
Yes, the cosmic axis,
Yeah.
the center of the world where heaven and earth meet.
And some New Age theories even call it the crown chakra of the earth.
They do?
What kind of real-world phenomena might even begin to support such a huge claim?
Well, adding to the mystique are these reports of significant electromagnetic anomalies, unusual energy fields.
Like what?
NASA satellite observations apparently detected an uncommon electromagnetic energy wave coming from Kailash. Experts supposedly struggled to explain it conventionally, just based on, say, mineral composition or known energy forces.
An unexplained energy wave.
Yeah, and then you have visitor accounts. People frequently report magnetic compasses spinning wildly near the mountain or just stopping altogether. Electronic devices, phones, cameras often malfunction.
Classic signs of strong magnetic fields.
Exactly. It strongly suggests there's a powerful and a unique magnetic field around the mountain, something out of the ordinary.
That's incredible. And speaking of energy fields, I've heard about these global alignments, ley lines connected to Kailash. How does it supposedly link up with other ancient sites?
Yeah, this is fascinating. Researchers have pointed out some really astonishing geometric alignments. Kailash seems to line up with other major ancient monuments around the world.
Like which ones?
Places like the Pyramids of Giza, Stonehenge in the UK, Machu Picchu, Easter Island. The theory is they're all located on Earth's energy grid, or the Lion Lines, these hypothetical lines connecting spiritually significant spots.
Okay.
And there are specific numbers cited too. Kailash is supposedly exactly 6,666 kilometers from Stonehenge and 6,666 kilometers from the North Pole.
Whoa, 666, that number itself.
Right. It definitely adds to the mystique. And it's said to be double that, 13,332 kilometers from the South Pole.
That precision is startling.
It is. And the significant insight, really, that people draw from these reported alignments is that it suggests a highly sophisticated ancient understanding of Earth's maybe energetic architecture, implying some kind of higher intelligence or cosmic blueprint was involved.
So, for you, the listener, this paints Kailash as potentially this central hub, like a key node in an ancient, invisible global matrix of energy points, maybe even a kind of natural or unnatural GPS for the planet.
That's a mind-bending idea.
Truly. Okay, let's go down to the foot of the mountain. There's this profound paradox there, right? Two lakes, starkly different.
Yes, the twin enigma, as some call it, Lake Mansarovar and Rakshastal.
Tell us about them.
Well, Lake Mansarovar is revered. It's holy, fresh water, seen as pure. People believe bathing in it cleanses the body and soul. And remarkably, despite the incredibly harsh Tibetan winters, it apparently never completely freezes over.
Never freezes at that altitude.
That's the report. Very unusual. Then right next to it, you have Rakshastal, the Demon's Lake.
Sounds ominous.
It is. It's salt water, dark, mysterious, reportedly lifeless. Bathing is forbidden. Hindu legend links it to the demon king Ravana, saying he did intense penance there.
So you have holy, fresh water, warmish, and demon salt water, lifeless, side by side.
Exactly. This incredible duality.
Are there scientific explanations, and do they fully cover it?
Scientists suggest that geologically, tectonic shifts in glacial activity probably connected the two lakes in the past.
Yeah.
For Mansarovar not freezing, theories include maybe geothermal activity, underground thermal vents keeping it slightly warmer.
Okay, plausible mechanisms.
Plausible, yes. But the stark difference in their waters. One sweet and life-giving, the other barren and saline that remains a bit of an enigma. It perfectly intertwines the mythology and the hydrology. And the truly compelling insight here is how this physical manifestation, this stark duality in two adjacent lakes, is universally interpreted in spiritual traditions. It's seen as a cosmic symbol,
Representing.
forces of good and evil, life and death. Very much like the yin and yang concept, you know, balancing the world.
A physical representation of cosmic balance.
Precisely.
Okay, finally, let's touch on the really bizarre stuff. The truly inexplicable, maybe otherworldly phenomena people report around Kailash.
Right, the high strangeness.
We've heard about mysterious lights and sounds. Multiple accounts mention seeing, like, seven different types of lights in the sky above the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And strange sounds. Ethereal noises described as humming or chanting or even the sound of Lord Shiva's dumru, his drum.
Yeah, those reports come up frequently. Interpretations vary, of course. Some suggest it's atmospheric effects interacting with the magnetic field. Others lean towards communication.
Communication from?
From a higher intelligence, perhaps.
Yeah.
And you also have to consider the context, the profound spiritual atmosphere there. It often leads to visions, altered states of consciousness for pilgrims.
Right.
Many report deep spiritual awakenings, seeing deities, recalling past lives, entering states of bliss or trance. One monk apparently recounted feeling an unseen force guiding him around the Kora path, only to find himself settled back where he started hours later.
Wow. Guided by an unseen force. And the mountain itself, it seems to have natural symbols on it.
It does, or at least that's how features are perceived. People report seeing the face of Lord Shiva emerging from the rock contours on one side. Okay. A natural swastika symbol is said to appear sometimes as the snow melts in a specific pattern. And even the sacred Om symbol has reportedly been observed in the light and shadow at sunset.
Natural pareidolia, maybe, but incredibly significant to believers.
Absolutely. And the crucial question that emerges from all this for many researchers and mystics is, could Kailash be some kind of nexus, maybe for interdimensional travel?
A portal.
That's what esoteric Buddhist and Hindu traditions suggest, that Kailash hides a portal to Shambhala.
The legendary hidden kingdom.
Exactly. A kingdom of immortals, enlightened beings, believed to exist in a different dimension, a different flow of time. Ancient Bon texts and Tibet legends also speak of hidden cities, underground tunnels in the Kailash region.
Hidden cities.
Yeah, where advanced beings, yogis, sages reside. Locals sometimes say these cities are invisible to the unworthy, even if they're right there under your feet in plain view.
That's incredible. Invisible cities.
And then, of course, you have fringe beliefs proposing Kailash is an ancient alien base. So this whole collection of sources, traditions, reports, it strongly suggests that maybe the veil between dimensions is just thinner here. That profound secrets might literally be waiting just out of sight.
Mount Kailash, then, really stands as this incredible testament to the allure of the unexplained, a majestic peak that just consistently seems to defy our conventional understanding.
Absolutely.
We've touched on its unconquered summit, those bizarre time distortions, its uncanny pyramid shape, its role as a possible cosmic nexus, the duality of those twin lakes, and these whispers of otherworldly phenomena, hidden realms.
And while science does offer some logical explanations for certain things, you know, geology for the shape, magnetic fields for the compass, issues these explanations often feel incomplete.
They fall short.
Yeah, they often fall short of fully accounting for the sheer consistency and the profound nature of the anomalous experiences people report again and again. And those gaps in scientific understanding, that's where speculation thrives. It leaves ample room for the very ideas that ignite our human curiosity.
Mount Kailash remains this unparalleled enigma, a living mystery, really. It invites wonder, exploration. It resonates so deeply with these big themes, mysticism, spirituality, maybe the multiverse, time travel, even science fiction.
It touches on all of it.
So what if the true conquest of Kailash isn't about planting a flag on its physical summit? What if it's about the profound journey of mind and spirit it inspires in anyone who encounters its mysteries?
A different kind of summit.
Exactly. It stands as this powerful reminder, perhaps, that some truths aren't meant to be conquered, but maybe just revered. It invites you, the listener, into a journey of profound discovery, not just of the mountain, but maybe of yourself and the boundless possibilities of existence.